Dearly beloved, Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example who, when he was reviled, did not revile. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, it seems that this weekend all things are breaking out all over the place. We have our water main that's broken here right on Rialto Road, and that volcano, little one, they say, making a lot of noise, that volcano in Ireland, which has stranded hundreds of thousands of people throughout the world. One of our seminarians and one of our priests who are with us at Holy Week are now stranded in Europe, and they can't get back to the seminary. They say the volcano is mostly beneath the surface, and its eruptions today are only growing worse. There's a bit of a volcano in all of us, isn't there? Beneath the surface, just waiting. And it is disconcerting to allow that after all of the self-denial and the strict spiritual discipline of a good Lent, that there still should be rumblings and eruptions, clouds of smoke, microscopic but very cutting particles spewed everywhere through the air. Now, we may claim that we were in control, but the rumble in our voice gives us away, as does maybe one gesture or the color in our cheeks or the volume of our speech. All of these things send out a dark cloud, and it takes a while to disperse it. That's what's remembered long after the actual content of whatever we've been saying is forgotten. It's disappointing. And you might wonder at times, how is anybody, the living or the dead, supposed to be able to rest in peace? One of the books I used mostly for my Lenten sermons, we dedicated our Lent this year to the poor souls in purgatory, is a classic work of Father Shoup, who was a Jesuit, on purgatory. It's a great book to have, and if you haven't read it, I do recommend it to you. Well, one day during the week, I was paging through the book looking for something for the sermon, and out fell a little leaflet that the lady who had owned the book before, some lady in Louisville, I don't know her name, perhaps put in years ago. It's entitled, Seven Steps to Personal Peace. And I thought to myself, well, that's interesting, because sometimes we Catholics get the idea, well, there's not going to be any peace in this life. And then if we sort of just resign ourselves to a long, long purgatory, we'll have an awfully long wait, won't we, till finally we are able to rest in peace. Peace does seem an elusive project, especially for us traditional Catholics. Here we are, just trying to go about our business week after week and month after month as peacefully as possible. And there's always some kind of a volcano or another which is erupting, disrupting our plans, stranding us, separating us, the one from the other, and causing so much damage by those little tiny unseen particulates now spread all throughout the world. How on earth are we to find peace? Well, maybe it's not for this life. Ah, but today comes the Good Shepherd on the scene. And while we're looking for peace, he's looking for us. Each one of you and so many others are sheep of his flock. or the other sheep he has that are not of this particular fold. When he calls you, and you hear your name and his voice, listen. Just stay with him. You know how sheep prefer things on the quiet side. The first step to personal peace is just that, that we should stop and quietly listen to the shepherd's voice. I mentioned to you earlier this winter what impressed me most about my visit to our seminary this January was the first thing they do every morning, to kneel in the midst of a room full of men who are praying perfectly quietly for 30 minutes, first thing every morning. I was not surprised to read in my little pamphlet, which fell out of the book this winter, that a study was once done of seminarians to determine the relative level of happiness and the mental health of the average seminarian. And it turned out that it didn't depend on how religious they were or how long they have known and practiced the faith. It depended rather on how often they prayed quietly. That is to say, they meditated, especially on sacred scripture. That made the big difference. And if meditation had been a part of a seminarian's life for at least 3 years, he was found to be happier and healthier than other students. Regularity, this study showed, is a key factor, but also a certain kind of spontaneity is required. In other words, it would be all too easy except for seminarians, who if they don't show up for morning meditation, know they're in trouble. It would be all too easy for the rest of us either to dismiss meditation or to consider quiet prayer to be just one more thing on a day's long list of objectives to be checked off. But you really will never attain that peace of mind unless you give it, your prayer, some individual thought in your own personal preparation you bring to it. How should you pray? I mean, this way, so as to know something of God's peace. Well, the first question is not how, but rather where. That is to say, you need a quiet place. Where? And you need a quiet time. When? That's why they recommend the early morning hours, which for many would be best, and that you ought to kneel, or if you prefer to sit reverently, of course, but quietly is the main thing. There are several ways to meditate, and one could have a whole long series of sermons just on that subject, I'm sure. But just let me give you a quick little outline of the classic way a monk, say in the Middle Ages, would meditate, which has been rediscovered today and is actually quite popular. It's called the Lectio Divina, or divine reading, and it has simply 4 points that are given, curiously enough, as most important things in life, that are given in Latin. Lectio, meditatio, oratio, and contemplatio. Now, did you all remember those? Move on? No. Let me take it one word at a time here. Lectio, that means reading. In this sense, it's not reading to get the book read. It's not rushing. It's to read slowly. And as you read, to listen. To listen for what? To listen to the shepherd's call. His call to you, what many writers refer to as that still, small voice which speaks to you. And when you hear it, stop and stay there. Don't go anywhere. And what do you do next? After the lectio, the reading, then you do the meditatio, the meditation. What does it mean to meditate? How do you meditate? Simply this. For starters, you stop and you think. You reflect. You perhaps admire something. You make acts of adoration or love or thanksgiving or sorrow. And then you resolve. You make your promises. You apply what you're thinking about honestly to your own life. That's meditation. The next step after that, after the thinking part, is to go to the praying part. We call that oratio, oration, prayer. What's prayer? Why, prayer is just talking to God. Are you one of those people who does all the talking? There's always a few. And you never listen? That's not a conversation, and that's certainly not prayer. You've got to listen, too. So you talk to God. That's the first part. That's the oratio. And say whatever on your heart. Just talk to him. And then, last of all, we're already at the fourth step. You see, it's not that difficult. Contemplatio, contemplation. That is to say, again, you listen to that still, small voice. You listen to God. As the psalmist says, be still, see that I am God. Or this process would take, you know, to give it, I think, a good 15 minutes a day. Or there's the express approach. A busy Belgian cardinal who lived at the beginning of the 20th century and during the world wars, Cardinal Mercier, said, all you have to do really is to take 5 minutes. He called it the secret of happiness. 5 minutes. Think, who couldn't spare 5 minutes a day? It always starts, this kind of prayer, with shutting the doors and the windows, to shut out the world's noise and distractions, to place yourself before God. If your mind wanders, then gently, you just draw yourself back again to God. Only, nothing else, no other thoughts, just God. And then you pray, dear Lord, here I am and here you are. You're God, I'm your creature. Tell me what you want me to do. Just strengthen me, oh, and console me too. I promise, whatever you ask of me, I'll do it. I'll accept whatever you send me. Just show me your will. He assures us, this cardinal does, that this kind of a submission to the Holy Spirit is the secret of peace. It's a short and very, very intensive form of prayer. It is as espresso is to coffee. Just a little shot, that's all you need. And that will get you going. In this case, it will get you quiet and consoled before God. Peace, it seems an elusive goal, doesn't it? Especially in our days. But I'm here to tell you, peace is not just for the dead anymore. Peace is possible for the living. One of my favorite quotes from the sacred scripture, which comes to mind often, is the living themselves, they themselves shall praise thee as I today. Peace is, yes, a precious commodity. But think, it can be had at the price of just a few pennies of your time. Not even the tithe of your time, the 10%, is required. Just a little bit for you to listen and stop when you hear the Good Shepherd call your name. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.